Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and we're excited to have our good friends Daryl and Bernie Poitier from Rhode Island. What town do you live in Rhode Island?
Foster.
Foster, is that like between Newport and...
It's the western part of the state.
Western.
Yeah, directly between Hartford and Providence.
Okay. And do you, where's your office? Is that in Foster there?
No, the office is in Warwick. It's about 35 minutes from my house.
Okay. And you, do you, most of your clients just all in New England or all over?
Really kind of all over the country. We have clients in Florida, some clients in California. Locally, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont. So those are the bulk of them, but we do service people all over the country.
Good. That's cool.
Yeah.
So last session, we learned about, you know, God giving you a instruction to get ready to transition out, what you were ready for. And you said, okay, great. How about my son? Talk to your son. And I'm interested, which you reminded his friend. I said, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that? Is that you get to be your own boss and all this stuff. And it's a, you know, giving you a beautiful business. And nah, I want to go do something else. And so you said, okay, I'll sell it because you were okay with that. But God said, no, he's going to do it. And this is cool about faith. Faith is certainty of what God says, not what you observe. Because as far as you were saying, like, that ain't going to happen.
Right.
And God said, yeah, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you know, and when faith just says, I receive that, and I'm going to act accordingly. Because you could have, yeah, but I need to sell it. And maybe have tried to sell it. But God said, no. And you waited. And you were, of course, believing that it would be good for Tristan to do this. But he was looking at these other things. So talk to us now about, you said God started working with him. And what happened that he, what were the circumstances and the situation where he came to you and finally said, you know what, I think I want to do this.
I guess when he decided that that he would make this a career, He had tried gymnastics. He had tried teaching karate. He had been working in this industry with me for 20 years. But I think the point of change in his life was really when he realized that if he wasn't going to do it, then I have to dispose of this somehow. I can't keep doing this forever. And then you saw a kind of little glimmer of light that came through the cracks. That he started realizing that he could do very, very well here. Mm-hmm. And when he decided that was going to be his career, then he went full guns. Mm-hmm. And it was like one day the door was closed, the next day the door was open, and he was just going gung-ho. And with that, he's a lot like with me. He's either on or off. There's never any in between. So when you're on, it's always, you're just pressing and pressing and pressing until you get to where you think the goal is. And I saw that in him, that once he decided, then he already had the exam scheduled. He already had the study habits done. He already was just going like, you know, like there was no tomorrow. And when that happened, I knew this is really happening.
Did he came to you and said, you know, I've decided I wanted to do this?
Yes, he did. He says, I'm going for my license, Dad. And then we're going to do what you asked. So I said, okay. Great. So next step, go get your license.
Did you hear God say, I told you that was going to happen?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Because it was, you know, it's like, because it was a promise that was, you know, it was 15 years in the making. And then, you know, but then it was, here it is. It's right now at the door. And I was sitting back and saying, okay, it's at the door. Now what? Because for me, that means that I've got to begin to step back. I've got to begin to let him make decisions, which is really a change of habit from what I had done all my life. Because, you know, if there were decisions to make that were critical to the business, that was me. And there was really no one else there, even though I had partners. Their responsibilities were were in doing other facets, but when it came to running and organizing and visioning the company, that was always sitting in my hand. So I remember doing a one-on-one with my friend Rick, Rick Ferris, which probably a lot of people know. But we were talking about it, and we were talking about, here's what's coming up. And I said, I need to do some visioning. And he says, what? I said, no. He said, no, Tristan needs to do the visioning now. And that was kind of a knock in the back of the head because and I was realizing that, okay, you've got to step into this now, because now it's going to become his. So you got to behave and act as if it's his now. Yeah. And that was a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
Very difficult thing to do. So I said, okay, Lord, how do you want to handle this? And he said, well, you're going to take it a step by step. And it was on days when I saw that there was something that needed to be made, that meant that we were sitting down together and making that decision. And when there were personnel things that needed to be made, that meant that he had to be there in the room, and it wasn't my decision to make anymore.
Yeah.
And that was a big transition for me.
It's funny, because we think of important milestones like, okay, is he going to do it? He finally says yes. And God says, that's good, but you got a lot more questions to ask. Like, now what do we do? Now that we're here, it's not like, okay, great, that's it. No, it's the beginning. It's kind of funny how that works. And then it's always, because I know the story of him with a CPA. It's always funny to me because it wasn't that easy per se, because he's not like just out of school. So he's had to study, learn all this stuff. But the cool thing is that, he passed all four pieces the first time.
Right.
That's really rare.
Yeah,
that's
so
God
rare.
Says,
rare.
not only is he going to do this, but he's got it, and he has the ability. So we'll come back to a little bit of how are you working through that transition. But Darrell, I want to talk to you about, some of the issues that you've had to face. What you do together is take care of your father, who is moving toward, he's going to be a transition to go to heaven pretty soon. And he lives in your house that you're taking care of him. And how have you been able to handle that and maintain a life, with God, that God wanted you to have?
That's hard. Because, when he first came to live with us after my mom passed, which was in 2017, he was 90.
Wow.
92.
He was 92. And so, but he was still, he could still cook for himself. He could still, do his own laundry. He was pretty good at 92, and he was still with it. So when he first came to live with us, it wasn't quite as bad. We could leave him, go away for like an overnight, and he could take care of himself. But now he's 99 and he's really, you could see the dramatic shift from when he was 92 to now. He's much more dependent on me. It takes a lot more. I'm basically giving him nursing home level care at this point. And so it's a lot. It's a lot on me. It's a lot physically on me. But I also know that my whole situation with him is I would have a hard time putting him in a nursing home only because of the fact that I know what they do. Like he's there, he's at respite care now in a nursing home. And so I've had conversations with them, I call them and I'm like, how are you doing? How's he doing? And all this other stuff. And so he gets kind of obstinate.
Yeah.
And he can be that way. He's a thick-headed Italian. What can I say? But so, and what they do is they sedate them so that, he won't walk out of the nursing home. And I get why they have to do it, but I don't want him to live the rest of his life sedated all the time. So those are issues that are very difficult for me because not that I don't want to give up control. I haven't heard that the Lord wants me to put him there either. So I'm just going to continue taking care of him. But it is difficult. It's hard. Like right now, thank goodness last year we got him into hospice care. And so with hospice care, you do get respite stays, which are usually 5 days. And then if you want more, you can pay for them. So we've done a few of those to help us, just kind of help me because it's stressful, and to help us just kind of reconnect and, kind of work on our marriage as well. So it's a little difficult to do that, but
he's a constant issue in our morning times, I would say. just as far as, you know, what the Lord wants for him, what the Lord wants for us, and how do we navigate through this? Because the road has gotten narrower.
Yeah.
As he's grown, or as he's aged. And so now from really him being, gee, no bother, he just happens to be somewhere in the kitchen next to us. Now it's become really a full-time job for Daryl. And so it's been our prayer, and really our morning time is just, what do we do with this now? And what's the next step we need to do here? Because every day is a brand new step with him. We're encountering stuff that we've just never dealt with before.
How did you locate? You did get some outside help. How did you find one that actually could do a pretty decent job for him?
Well, I didn't realize in Rhode Island that there were as many hospice places as there were, which was kind of interesting. And so I got a list of them, and then I started doing a little bit of research online about, you know, questions to ask them. Like, what questions do you ask hospice givers and things like that to find out, you know, who you would like to go with? I mean, my mom was also in hospice, and I know that I did not want to use the hospice that they used for my mother. I wasn't overly pleased with them and the way that they cared for her. So I was like, nope, definitely not going to use them. So I just started looking at other hospice centers and called them up, asked them the question. You know, I gotten a list of questions together and just started asking the questions. And, you know, how do you do this? How do you do that? What's this? Just basic questions. Then at one point I was just asking the Lord, okay, Lord, so I've got the questions down. I've got the answers now. Where do you want me to go with this? Who would you like? And it was really funny because I had asked if I could get references on your suggestion. And they all kind of balked and basically said, well, we can't do that. There's HIPAA laws. There's this, there's that, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. I was like, yeah, but I'm not asking for names. But you could certainly ask them or ask somebody that's used your service if they wouldn't mind talking to me. Mm-hmm. And so about three of them kind of just didn't want to do that. And there was one that did want to do that. And so eventually it was kind of interesting that they did give me they gave me the name of somebody. They asked her. She said it was fine. They gave me her name and her number, and I called her. And lo and behold, she was a Christian. So I was like, okay, keep that in the back of my mind. And it was just funny because we had a great conversation. She basically was, you know, had a glowing report for the hospice company that I was thinking about going with. And so I just kind of took that as like, okay, then this is a sign from the Lord. She's a Christian. They were the only ones that came through with somebody that I could actually talk to about their services. And it's been good. It's been really good.
It's been really good.
It's been really good.
It's great.
It's been fantastic.
They have been really fantastic. Everybody has been so accommodating. And, you know, I'm not one to be shy. So if I see something's wrong, I let people know. You know, I'm not one of these people that if something happens I say something. So there's been quite a few conversations with, you know, like the nurse case managers and stuff like that about some of the things that have happened, but they've always been on top of it. They've always corrected it. They've always been really good. So that to me was a confirmation that these were the people that I was supposed to go with, you know, and it's kind of hard because we had taken my dad to Florida a couple of years ago when he could still kind of travel, and we had transitioned to, a hospice care center down there, and they were just so bad. They didn't want to do anything. I don't know if it's just all hospice places, but, and I can't say that it is because I don't have any, you know, other experiences other than the one in Florida. And, but they kind of almost was like, I felt like he's 98 years old, you know, what do you expect? And, you know, cause it was not very caring. Let's put it that way. But the people up here have been great. So it's been interesting in that respect because it's been a big help, a big, big help. We've had CNAs coming in like three times a week to bathe him. The nurse comes in twice a week. I've got people I can call if there's, you know, situations that come up that I don't know how to handle or not sure what to do. So I can always call them 24/7 and they usually get back to us pretty quickly.
And the Lord's shown you, you know, because obviously it's going to be months or year, or he's going to go wind up being with Jesus. He does know Jesus. That's what we all care about.
Right.
You know, because this is but a moment. Eternity is a long time. You have to be with them. So you have some confirmation of that, and you feel good about that, Nick, going next level.
Yeah, actually, it was on one of the retreats that we were up in New Hampshire at Dave's place. And it was, I believe the retreat was Conquering the Giants. And it was about David and...
Yeah, overcoming deliverance.
Deliverance. And it was, so Dave had said to us, you know, write down some of those giants in your life. And the first one on my list was my dad's salvation. And so, you know, we went through the weekend and we get to the part where Dave's like, okay, take that one giant and go ask. And so we did. I was outside. Staying still outside is really difficult when you have a lot of stuff going on around you and staying quiet. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm sitting outside on the deck, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I get Romans 10:9 in my head. You know, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. My father has confessed it because I've asked him several times, you know, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know why he died? And he's like, yeah, he died for my sins. And, you know, do you believe that God raised him? Yeah, I believe it. So to me, that was a confirmation that, yes, he's saved. And then, you know, about a year, I guess, went by. And we went to a local church near our house in Foster. And the pastor is really good. He's a young pastor. But he's very much into teaching scripture, like all of scripture, not just some of scripture. And so it was really refreshing to go to the church. And he was kind of talking about Romans 10:9 one day. And the part about is Lord. And he kind of said that, you know, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and then he kind of went to explain what that means about surrendering your will to his and walking with him and things like that. Well, I don't think my dad's ever done that piece of it because I don't think he's ever been taught how to do it.
Right.
Because my father grew up Roman Catholic. And so it's not something that they really teach you in Catholicism. And so that got me questioning again. And I'm like, okay, Lord, like now is he really saved? Because he doesn't necessarily surrender his will to yours, but...
He has no way of expressing it either.
Right. At this point, he has no way of expressing it.
So, until last week.
Until last week. Yeah, it was kind of funny. About, I think, three or four weeks ago, on Wednesday nights, me and Chris, another friend of ours in Rhode Island, they do a Bible study at the church. And so he had to go earlier because Pastor David wanted to talk to Bernie and Chris about something. And so I was like, okay, I'll get my dad dinner and I'll come along after. And so I'm talking to my dad. I was like, okay, what do you want? He's like, where are you going? I'm like, well, I'm going to the Bible study, the Wednesday night Bible study. And my dad's like, well, I think I want to go. I'm like, okay.
So it was funny when she showed up that we had spoken about this and she, you know, she was concerned again. I'm saying, you know, why are you concerned again? But then she said, all right, we'll take it to the Lord. And then all of a sudden I'm there and he walks in. And
well, I had to wheel him in. He's in a wheelchair, but.
but he's there. And I'm saying, whoa, first of all, how did you even get him ready in time? It takes a long time just to get him ready out of bed. He's 99 years old. And so when he was there, it was just funny to see guys. I realized at that moment that, Daryl, I think the Lord just confirmed your concern.
Yeah.
Just by not only the fact that he wanted to come, but the fact that you were able to get him out of the house.
In a short period of time.
In a very, very short period of time.
Which is normally not the case. And then it was also kind of funny because about, maybe a week, I was just talking to my dad in the morning and he looks at me and he's like, you know what? And I was like, what? He goes, I wonder what my mother and your mother, his wife, obviously, are doing in heaven right now. It's just kind of like, I was like, well, I can't say for sure what they're doing, but I know they're with Jesus. And he's like, yeah. So it was just kind of these funny little pockets of things that the Lord just kind of, yep, you're good. Yep. You're good. And I actually went back to Romans 9 too. I'm kind of still a little bit in abiding on that. And just looking into, okay, Lord, what does it really mean to say you are Lord? You know, so I'm still kind of on that journey as well.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And it's always fun, you know, how God has directed you to, you know, hey, it is Tristan. Yep, it's time to go. You're with your dad, you know, getting you some assistance, which is a blessing.
Yes.
And that most importantly, confirming he's coming home with me.
Yeah.
And that gives us a great peace.
Yeah.
Because when it's time to go, it'll be grievous, but it'll also be joyful.
Right.
Just like it was with my mom.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And it's fun to you know, see the progress of what you moved to and Thor, and we'll have you back to, you know, find out, particularly now that you have to. Next season will be, you know, hopefully less work for you, and Tristan will be stepping up into more leadership.
Yeah, I know that'll happen. Just in my heart, I know. You can see where it's going at this point.
Yeah,
and it's going to be really good. I can see that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the good news, is that if God says, well, no, it's him, it's not like it's him. It's him, and by the way, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And I got that all under process. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, we do pray for Bernie and Daryl, and we do pray for Daryl's father, and just pray that he does have a peaceful transition, that the timing would be your timing, that you'd give Daryl and Bernie strength through this period, and then rejoicing when it's time. And thank you for confirmation of that. And we thank you for Tristan being able to step up into that leadership position. May he really flourish at that, and Bernie be able to really move away from as much activity as has had, and he'd release it and enjoy this next season. So we praise you and thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us, guys. It was a pleasure to catch up with you. Enjoy the rest of your time at the lake.
Thank you.
Listeners, if you have any questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abidingministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.